God chooses interesting characters to do his work. He chose Moses. And after he chose Moses, Moses didn't want the job. He didn't want it at all, but the Lord said, "You're the one I want. You're going to lead my people from the slavery of Egypt. You're going to lead them to the promised land." Now, this wasn't an overnight trip. We know the story. It took 40 years. And during this time, through the leadership of Moses, the chosen people became the people of God. He formed them into a community of believers, and God was with them. But because Moses had a momentary doubt when the people were complaining about there was not adequate water, of course, they're in a desert. They got thousands of people. They got animals that they have to be taken care of. They're complaining there's no water. And Moses, they've been complaining quite a bit about everything. And so God says to him, "Just strike that rock, there'll be water." Well, Moses struck it twice. He hesitated for just a split second. And the Lord told him, because of that, you will not see the you will not go into the promised land. So the Lord, before the chosen people went to the promised land, he took Moses up a mountain and said, "There it is. You can see it from there." But then Moses died. It's interesting now, he chooses John the Baptist long before John was born. He chose him to be the precursor, to go before him to announce that the Messiah had come. It was time for the Lord Jesus to come and save the world, to save the people. And so John the Baptist, what he did, he had this calling. I'm sure he wasn't sure exactly what it was, because God doesn't always write these things out very clearly. He gives you kind of an inclination, an interest. And so in trying to determine exactly what is expected of him, John the Baptist went into the desert, where he would have very few distractions, and he prayed and begged for the guidance of God to know what he was supposed to do. He lived a pretty tough life there. His clothing was like, what they say, camel's hair, and his food was locust and wild honey. Doesn't sound too appetizing. But John did that because he wanted to be prepared to do the job that he was called to do. So he comes out of the desert knowing that it was his position, it was his responsibility to proclaim that the Messiah was coming. It's time to prepare your hearts. He's close by. He's near at hand. So John did his job. He talked about repentance, told the people how important it was for them to change their lives so that when this Messiah came, they would welcome him. And so he did his job. And then he used the waters of the Jordan to wash the people, symbolically cleansing them of all their sins. Even Jesus went through that ritual. But now John is in prison for what he was proclaiming. He's a very firm and very determined person. God gave him a job, and he was determined he was going to do it to the best of his ability. And so Jesus had the greatest admiration for John. He talked about, there's none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That's pretty high praise. Just think about that for a moment. And he talked about it because of the strength and the courage and the conviction that John had, the determination to do what God asked of him. And Jesus tells us, "I admired that in him. I really admired that in him." And even though John died before the suffering and death and rising of Christ, he was not part of this kingdom that Jesus came to proclaim. So he says to us, he said, "John is the greatest, none greater. But the least born into the kingdom of God is greater than he." And that is who we are. That's who we are. John's job was to point out the way, to point out the person of Jesus. Our job is to bring that message of the kingdom to our world today. That's our job. Now, we look at the way John prepared himself. Now, we can't all do that. We're not all going to, the desert wouldn't hold all of us. Probably most of us wouldn't get too far into it anyway. But John was so determined to do things right and do it with conviction and with all of his absolute energy. He was so determined to do that, he prepared himself. We, the least in the kingdom of God, are greater than John the Baptist, because we share in this new kingdom. We don't look at it like Moses looked in the promised land, but not enter into it. We don't see it as John the Baptist, who questioned, are you the one? Did I do the right thing? Did I point out the right person? What I'm hearing in prison, I can't tell. But he died before he could become a part of that kingdom of God, the one of which we have been invited to be participants. See, what we forget, though, is that it's not just getting into this kingdom that's going to do what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be the John the Baptist of our world today. I'm sure we're not going to stand in the river and wash people's heads or any of that sort of thing. But by our lives, by our example, we are supposed to be John the Baptist in our world today. We are supposed to point out to Christ what he asks of us, what he expects of us, the way of life he would like for us to live, so that one day we can fully share in the glory that he's prepared for all of us. We like to think, well, that's somebody else's job. I mean, John was special. He was specially chosen by God, like Moses was specially chosen, but like each and every one of us was specially chosen. We're each and every one specially chosen by God. He called us by name and welcomed us into the family of God through our baptism. And he said, now, the mission that I give to you is to bring this message to our world. Our world needs not only the message, but they need the example of people who believe that message. And he said, I will sustain you all you need. If you pray, I will be there to sustain you. Receive the sacraments, receive the Eucharist, participate in study of the scriptures, know what I say, what I teach. And he said, I will sustain you, even though that job is tough in today's world. He said, but I chose you to be like a John the Baptist, to bring my message to our world today. By what you say, by what you do, the way you pray, the example that you give, what you teach your children, all of these things, that is what we are supposed to be doing. So we kind of ask ourselves once in a while, if I had one fraction of the ardor, the determination, the conviction, the dedication, the faithfulness that John the Baptist had, how would that change my life in the world today? How would it change the world today? We're not going to live to see the results of all of our actions, the choices that we make. We're not going to live to see all of that. Some of them we will. But say the good that we've done in this world, we probably won't see until we're on the other side of life, in the next more perfect life. But in the meantime, like John the Baptist, we look to him. The reason Jesus admired him was his absolute firm conviction and dedication, willingness to sacrifice, willingness to give his own life, which he did, to do the job that God asked him to do. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John, and we are that least. bunch. We've got a big job, but we need the conviction and the dedication of a John the Baptist to make things really happen, as our Lord asks us to do.